Have you ever absolutely panicked after you accidentally deleted a file on your computer? I know I have. It's not an issue if you've got CrashPlan Smart Recovery. Your files are just a few clicks away and can be restored in a snap. CrashPlan provides the best cloud backup solutions in the market. Visit crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. Now you can protect all your work with an unlimited backup and recovery solution. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data. And with unlimited version retention, CrashPlan can be your ultimate rewind button. Get unlimited computer backup for you or your business with CrashPlan Professional. CrashPlan backs up files that live on your computer and works with PC, Mac, and Linux. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
Today, I'm super excited. We are going to talk about some stuff that might surprise you guys in the sense of we're telling you all the reasons why we say no to, quote, opportunities, most opportunities, honestly, and our thought process behind our no and how you can now begin to ask yourself different questions when you get thrown various opportunities in your own business so you know if it's a right fit, if it's going to pay off, if it's going to be beneficial for both parties, and all of that fun stuff. So we're talking about saying no to some big things and to some small things, just because it might not be right for our audience and our business. And sometimes if you're on the other side of this fence, where you're using other businesses, companies, or brands to promote your own product, we're going to give you some tips on how you can make that process even better by sharing with you some ways that people have pitched us where we've ultimately said yes. So you're going to get some inside scoop today, and I'm pretty pumped about it.
Yeah, I'm super excited to tell you why we say no all the time. And I guess if you want us to say yes, you should definitely listen to this episode. If you're like, yeah, I'd really love Abigail and Emily to blank, mm-hmm, then you should listen to this episode because we're going to basically tell you what you should be doing.
Yeah, to get us to say yes to your things. So first, before we go into all of this, there's going to be a term that we're going to throw around a lot this episode, and I feel like we should define it. And let people know what the heck this big word means. So we're going to be talking a lot today about quantifiable exposure. That's a really big word, and it basically means if you're not getting paid dollar bills for something,
dun, dun, dun,
how are you getting paid?
Dun, so dun, is, dun.
Is it in tweets, shares of your blog post, comments on Instagram, email list subscribers, being promoted on a webinar in front of someone else's audience? Like, what is the exposure measurable that you, that's the quantifiable part. What is the measurable exposure that you are getting in return of what you're offering?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. So this is like swapsies. So this is, we're going back to barter and trade days. So if I'm giving you an apple, what are you going to give me for my apple? And you're not going to give me 50 cents. You're going to give me.
I raise you one apple for a PDF design and an Instagram share for that.
Yes.
Organic apple.
I was really hoping you were going to say two oranges, but it's fine. You didn't have to get my like telepathic clue as to what I was bartering for. It's fine. But that's a great point, actually. If people don't know what you want, they aren't going to know what you want. So one of the biggest tricks to getting someone to say yes to anything is if they pitch you and you're kind of interested, but their pitch is like all sorts of terrible, but you are interested in whatever is going on with them, pitch them back exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, they're like, whoa, dog, no, that's not in the budget.
Hold the phone, French toast. Calm down.
I can't do that.
So why, as people who constantly tell you that you should be charging what you're worth,
yes,
why do we have an entire episode talking about doing something for free? Tell me, Abby.
Because sometimes it actually is worth it, and sometimes it's not. So, in this episode, we're going to really expand upon when it's not worth it. And then we're going to have an episode coming up very soon that really talks about the opposite, I feel like. That's less pitch-oriented. It's more about why we give away the kitchen sink, why we give everything away for free. And you'll be like, these girls give away everything for free, then why are they saying no to all these awesome opportunities? Well, there's a reason, and that's why we're going into this today.
Well, and there's a difference in not getting paid for a service and offering value to your audience.
Yes.
Okay. So today we're talking about not getting paid for a service, when it makes sense, when it doesn't make sense. And our next episode, or like a couple episodes down the road here, we're going to be talking about why you should be giving so much value for free to your audience and what that can do for your business. Okay?
Yes.
Cool beans. So if you're going into a collaboration, relationship, partnership, whatevs, and both of you are coming to the table basically under the assumption that money is not going to be traded. One person wants the other person to share about their product or service in a real and authentic way in hopes that that person makes more sales and that the person sharing is providing value to their audience. It's basically the foundation of all of the things that we're going to be talking about today. So if you're going willingly into one of those relationships, you can still ensure that if you are the person wanting the other business to promote your thing, that you are going to get enough exposure if you are giving that person your thing, okay? You can actually make a contract even if you're not trading dollar bills, okay? There are barter and trade contracts that you can look up on the old Goog and make it work for your business and get a freaking signature. But you need to be very clear about what you are expecting and what they are agreeing to. And by clear, I mean literally spell out 12 Instagram posts, 24 blog posts. Like, that's a lot. That's an obscene amount. But whatever it is, like, what's the number and what is the thing? When do they need to be done by? And if you don't like it, or if you don't think it was enough, like, how can you reestablish that relationship?
Yeah. What's the approval process? How does this relationship work? Who's supplying the photographs? Like, laying out all of the responsibilities of each party the same way you would in a marriage contract. Like, I will wash the dishes if you... I will wash the dishes if you put away the laundry. You know how you barter and trade with your husband? It's the same thing. But you write it down and you both sign it in ink and blood, okay?
Ink and blood.
Ink and blood. This is real stuff. So, and we're as joking as this sounds, like, these are real things, and you can actually ensure that someone else will do this by having a contract. Now, keep in mind, because no money is being transferred, if someone breaks the contract, you need to have in place what will happen if that person breaks the contract. Are you going to stop doing XYZ for them? Because there's no money being traded, it's not like you're going to stop paying them. So, like, what is the process? You need to be aware of that specific thing that will happen.
Right. And this is why I'm a fan of temporary, quantifiable exposure relationships.
Yes.
Meaning that y'all go into this almost like it's a trial period, and you're trying to see if your audience likes whatever it is that you're promoting, or the promoter is getting enough benefit or ROI from giving you the free thing and continuing to promote it. And to make sure that both of you, like, are on the same page and getting everything that you want, you can absolutely set like a 30-day deadline, a 3-month trial, and you're going to reassess what that exposure looks like. Because, for instance, if you go into sharing someone's amazing product or service and your audience like eats it up, maybe after that trial period, you talk about being in some sort of affiliate program with that person. So they're still not technically paying you, but you're making a little bit of money from every sale of whatever it is that you're promoting instead of them like advertising with you, if that makes sense.
But I don't think it necessarily needs to be super complicated. So I'm, instead of like talking in these if-thans, what-ifs, I'm going to just literally give you some examples of ones that have actually gone down. Okay.
Yeah,
so before Penelope was born, if y'all don't know, adoption is hella expensive.
Like hella.
And baby products
are hella expensive.
Also very expensive. And we had our eye on a few things. And they ranged in price from, I don't know, $60 to a few hundred dollars. And I just, as, you know, aunt to be, wanted to make Emily's life a little bit easier and keep some moolah in my pocketbook. So I literally used our story and was like, you know, Emily's going through a rough time. Like, she's had a really hard time getting pregnant and it just didn't happen. And so now this beautiful baby's coming into the world and Instagram is going to go crazy. So you really ought to mail us this free thing. And we're going to share one photo and we're going to get your free product. And I'll email you that one photo. And it was a little nicer than that and a little more profesh, if you know what I'm talking about. But we had mostly yeses. I think we had one person say no, and a couple people just were like literally unresponsive. And a couple people said yes and then never got around to mailing it. Rude. What the heck? So if you're hearing this, so yeah, you. I know who you are. But for us, it was, I mean, kind of a pain because we still had to take the photo and we still had to post it on our Instagram. But at the same time, we didn't go have to spend $200 on this thing. Mm-hmm. And we could do it in like 15 minutes. And we got all of you guys over on Instagram loving it because every time we post a picture of Penelope, it's like, boom, our Instagram explodes.
It blows up. Yeah. Yeah. So that makes sense. There are other instances where people have sent us props for our photos. So they'll know that we use notepads and pencils and coffee mugs a lot, well, every time in our blog post images and our podcast graphics. So occasionally we'll just have some happy mail waiting for us that has some cool photo props in it of stuff that we can use. What else? Oh, well, for our birthday bash.
Oh, yeah. We had a ton of vendors. Yeah, we had a ton of people just mail us product that we gave away for free in our swag bags. So they ended up being swag boxes that were worth like $200. They were really cool.
It was like the friggin' Oscars.
It was not the Oscars, but it was as beautiful as the Oscars in our 1,000 square foot loft. Ish. Anyway, so we've only talked about things we said yes to. So why? Yeah. What we talk about things we say no to. Okay. So we get pitches daily
on the reg
for people who want us to come to their conference, to attend their summit, to try their product, to promote their social media graphic, to put their link their blog post on our blog somewhere. I could go on. There are a ton of different random pitches all the time. And every time they come in, we do actually try to read them. Some of them are so spammy that they go in the trash.
Yeah.
But if they're like legit, someone actually took the time to write us an email, like we do consider every pitch. But
a hard and fast rule, like we'll say no to all of the ones that fall under this category. If we have not used that product or service or would never use that product or service.
Yes.
Or we cannot afford that product or service, nor would we tell our audience that they should spend money on that product or service. Those just get blanket no's. No matter how cool the thing might be, if we're like, we wouldn't really spend money on that in the first place, then we know our audience isn't going to really spend money on that. So we don't really feel comfortable sharing about it.
Yeah. So like there was like a subscription box that wanted to pay for Instagram spot, which we do paid Instagram ads.
Yeah. This was us turning down a paid spot.
Which, so we do that as well as sometimes we'll do trade, just depending on what the product is. But they were offering to pay us and give us the product, which the product was $750. It was a value. They do a subscription box every month. But we're like, we can't imagine any of y'all signing up for a $750 subscription box. Mm-mm. Y'all are barely...
No, the value was $750, but it was like $150 a month or $300. It was $300 a month, I think.
I don't know. Anyways, it was a lot.
It was more than $50, which is about my top for spending anything monthly. And it, so we just didn't feel like we could get super ecstatic and behind it. And you guys would see
that. It
would
be us lying to you.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd be like, this is kind of cool if it were cheaper. So we said,
all the cool
and we
stuff,
flat out said, we love what you're like the box, but we're saying no because that budget isn't right for our audience.
So they literally emailed us back and they said, what if we changed our prices? And we said, sure.
Reach out.
If you change your prices, let us know. So, I mean, obviously that's an important thing to consider.
Other things we say no to, Abby brought up summits. So meaning like online summits, webinar collaborations would be kind of the same thing. Depending on the person and depending on the audience, all of this falls under that, like everything depends on. But as you grow and as you figure out what your audience wants and who you could get in front of that would help your business the best, that will help you get real like clear on these yeses and nos. But a blanket no for those type of things is if we're not getting a copy of the email list from those campaigns, we're saying no. Because it takes so much time and energy for us to teach and like give value that if we're not going to get the emails in return, we're just going to host a webinar where we could get all of those emails because it takes the same amount of energy.
Yeah. So the typical summit format that I've seen as of late is like the summit organizer sends you all the stuff and you just promote the summit to your particular page, yada, yada. But then in your summit interview, you can give away a freebie. And then if you get people to sign up for your freebie, then you get just those email addresses.
Right. Right.
Well, generally speaking, in the summits we've been pitched to as of late, the people on the list who are also presenting, like, I have nothing against these other people at all, but our email list is 4 and 5 and mm-hmm. 6 times as much. And so we're literally giving 11,000 emails potentially to this person. And they're doing all this promotion, which is great, but we might only get 200 new email addresses mm-hmm. unless they give us the whole list, which is,
right.
It's just not worth it to mm-hmm. us because otherwise we're spending hours.
Well, and we have to sign contracts for those to agree that we're going to do a solo email to our audience about the summit and a blurb and a social media post and whatever. And we're typically launching our own stuff. And so it gets really tricky in fitting in someone else's promotion because our email is pretty sacred and we try not to like bombard it with a whole bunch of promotion stuff. And so that to us alone, sending a promo email to our audience about anything other than our own stuff cost us a lot.
Right. Even though it's free, it's still so much time.
Yeah.
That we're taking away from everything else that we could be doing in our business. Mm-hmm. Which, speaking of time, that leads me into the conversation that I like least looking forward to having in this whole this whole podcast, which is why we've said no to a bunch of conferences this year.
Want to learn exactly step by step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire because I'm busy enough already. When we've hired in the past, the process was full of unqualified applicants. With Indeed, we can target the right candidates for the right position. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Money issues are a common stressor in any relationship. Monarch Money is the top-rated personal finance app that can get you and your partner on the same page without any extra cost. Monarch has built-in collaboration features, so together you can see your finances, budget, and get insights on your cash flow. It's the easiest way to manage any household finances. I've tried other finance apps in the past, and they didn't work the way I wanted them to. I don't want to stress over finances. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint and keep all of your tags and categories. Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to get set up, customize, and use. Monarch prioritizes my privacy, and they'll never sell my data to third parties. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. That's monarchmoney.com/strategy for your extended 30-day free trial.
Yeah, I don't have a hard time talking about this. So if you just want to hang out, you can. You guys know I get opinionated and I get on my little high horse here. So I acknowledge that. I think we'll start with our disclaimer first to set the tone. So we do say no to a lot of conferences and we will tell you why. And the disclaimer is we have never, ever, ever hosted a conference. We have never been the organizer of a conference, tried to put any of these together. So we absolutely 100% cannot speak on that side of the fence. We are only speaking on the speaker side of the fence, okay? We have spoken at two conferences for free. We did those last year. We did get our meals and our hotel comped. I think we have to pay for our flight for both of those?
I think so. Yes.
Yes. We had to pay for our flight for both of them. And before that, we did speak at a couple of local events that we did get paid for. And we used those as like trying to practice speaking in front of a small crowd in person, which was super beneficial, but we did make some money off of that. Mm-hmm. So we said yes to the two conferences last year for free because we, A, really liked the organizer of those conferences, really, really supported their mission, had great conversations with them about adding value to their community. And they were also communities that we wanted to get in front of physically in person. So getting to meet people who we had just kind of like crushed on online, getting to like put faces to our name in circles that were online that we felt like we hadn't really got into yet. So that was a super big benefit to us. Both of them also we treated like a vacation. So we took a couple extra days before the conference and just like kind of breathed. We got a massage at one and we just like kind of chilled, which was super helpful for us and our business. So that's your disclaimer. But now I think that conferences and saying yes to conferences for little to no money, most of the time it's no money, doing it for the exposure, that kind of mentality is one of the last like frontiers that we haven't yet conquered in the whole charge what you're worth scheme of things. I think a lot of people are still treating it as that, oh, but I'm getting practice and oh, but I'm building my portfolio, because those are literal sentences that people say in regards to conference experience. Oh, I haven't done it enough. Oh, I haven't done many big conferences. So they're saying all of these things to justify not charging. And so then it just leads into this vicious cycle of the people organizing those conferences know that they don't have to pay that much or all of their speakers, because some speakers do get paid at conferences and some don't, even at the same conference. So it kind of creates this weird little zone of people that are still kind of working for free.
Yeah. And so when she says free, it depends on the conference. So usually, quote, free is not totally free. It's usually they will waive the conference fee,
right,
and they will pay for your accommodations. And if food is provided for conference attendees, they would generally provide it for you for free. Mm-hmm. If conference attendees have to leave for lunch, they're probably not going to give you cash to go
right
eat lunch. And some will pay for your flight, but they might give you like a budget. Like you have $400 to get here or whatever. So if you're halfway across the universe, good luck. Or if, you know, flights go crazy, I mean, it's on you to try to get there. So that's kind of, it's between a rock and a hard place, because you're like, well, the conference is like $2,000 or whatever. And it's like, yes, but generally, if you're the one being asked to speak, you probably aren't going to get a lot of value from the conference itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might learn a few things. You might get some value from the other speakers, as in some of the relationships you create. But you have to think about how much time you are physically away from your desk, mm-hmm, how much time you're away from your email, how much time you're away from the normal day-to-day activities that you would be doing in order to generate income in your business. Mm-hmm. And so if we were gone for a 3 or 4 day conference, I mean, we're talking, we would be out because of travel and stuff for a week minimum. Mm-hmm. And that's two of us, and we're the only two full-time people in our business, and we're definitely the only two people working on actively generating income. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is just doing their job on the sidelines, which mm-hmm is great, and that's what they're supposed to be doing, but they're not like actively
right working. They're not writing emails.
No, they're not writing emails for us. They're not doing live webinars for us. And so we were like, okay, so at the second free conference, we got an opportunity to pitch. Mm-hmm. And so we pitched live and then kind of did like a follow-up with the conference attendees. And it was, what, 150 people? Mm-hmm. And so we converted those people and we made some money, but we made less that week than we would have made if we had hosted a live event online for free. Mm-hmm. And that was a hard pill to swallow for both of us. And I think it really gave us the aha that, like, we, because of the way we built our own business, we can generate our own quantifiable exposure that's larger. Mm-hmm. than the audience that these conferences are bringing in. Now, granted, when we're at a conference, like, we're being exposed to these people over and over again. So right. The hope is if they did buy something from us, they're hopefully going to be like that reoccurring customer that comes back and repurchases, and they are really invested in what we do, but not necessarily. We can't guarantee that because they may have not come to the conference to see us.
Right.
They may have come to the conference because the headliner was amazing, or someone else at the conference was like the reason they showed up. And if we weren't the reason, then we're just like the mayo on their hamburger, which may or may not be a wanted thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people don't like mayo on their hamburger.
I hate mayo. Blech. I can't even say the word without gagging. Oh, Jesus. Now that we've like, I feel like we might be the only ones in this industry with that opinion about conferences. We got back from our second free conference in 2016 and said the next conference that pitches us, this is the minimum that we're going to need to get paid. And yep. Sure enough, a couple of weeks later, a month or so, we had a conference pitch. It was for a really, really good conference, but it was going to be shortly after Penelope was born. Mm-hmm. So we asked for extra than we probably normally would pre-baby. So a ticket for my husband and extra incentives for this extra person that was coming with us because I wasn't going to leave her. And it ended up didn't working out. It wasn't within their budget, and that was totally fine. Not a big deal. But it was one of those things where we kind of had to stick to our guns and be like, if we want to make that much money, we can do it in our own home offices, not wearing pants. And my kid is in the next room instead of doing all of that.
Yeah. And it was a hard pill to swallow because conferences are so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Even though I can't say, like, the second conference we went to was very, very, very focused on photographers.
Yeah.
And so there was some sessions that literally made zero impact on our business.
But that meant we got to hang out by the pool.
Yeah.
And we got to explore the city.
Yeah.
And it was a true vacation.
Palm trees. And I literally, like, I'm telling you now, I want to own an address in Palm Springs before I die.
Oh,
like,
it's so beautiful.
It's happening. Like, you can come visit me. It may take until I'm 50, but it's happening.
But whose business type do conferences like that work for?
Yes. Okay. So this is an important differentiation. So we sell online courses, and we knew that our business could make more money not at a conference. But for some of you, and I would say specifically service-based, high-end service-based people, mm-hmm. going to a conference may be just the ticket you're looking for.
Yep. The great marketing tactic of 2017.
And I say this because at first I didn't understand it, because there was a few of our friends that literally went to like 30 conferences.
Yeah, and I was that like, was like their marketing plan.
And I was like, what are you doing?
How?
And then I got it. So one of our friends, she is a high-end web designer. Her name's Kathy. She actually did our website, Love Inspired. Shout out. So she works with a lot of different types of creative business owners, but her website packages are a premium. And so she was a speaker at one of the conferences we spoke at, but her target market is other speakers.
Mm-hmm. Not the attendees.
So hack.
Brilliant.
Who knew? She literally goes to present. Mm-hmm. We watch her presentation. I've never met this woman in my life. I knew we needed a new website. Mm-hmm. I had no plan on hiring this person. And then within a month, two months and a half, we had reached out to other people we had met at the conference, but she she became the clear winner. And so I'm sure Kathy's business thrives on meeting other conference speakers at conferences.
Yep.
So if you're in that high-end service industry, I mean, maybe conferences are perfect for you because the quantifiable exposure is there. Mm-hmm. Because you may make the five connections that lead to your five biggest client projects that you do all year long.
Yep.
But for us, it's just like the money is literally not there.
Yeah.
That said, yes, we are looking to get paid for conferences, but we would still go to a free conference for the right quantifiable exposure.
Yes. Even as a multi-six-figure business, we are still assessing proper quantifiable exposure. That never goes away, but it changes as you grow. The terms tighten up. The return for both of you gets greater. And so if we were to go to a conference with like freaking Oprah, we're willing to not get paid for that, to meet her, get in front of her, or other industry leaders, like, you know, our people.
We don't have to name names because it just gets awkward. It's fine. But you know Oprah, it's fine. Uh-huh. Like that, that would just make sense. But other things to consider. If you're pitching, and I don't care if you're pitching your product, your service, anything. And you're pitching to an influencer of some kind, and you want them to say yes, you need to stop thinking about what's in it for you for 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. I know ultimately that's what you want, and that's what will happen. But if you can be super specific as to how it will help your client mm-hmm. or your potential person, then they are so much more likely to say yes. So we got this pitch the other day in our inbox. And normally I would be like, absolutely not. A, it was from a man. Normally, if it's from a man, no offense, you get like negative 10% right away. Mm-hmm.
We're counteracting the wage gap. All right.
So it was from a man and he was like, you can get my product free for forever. And I was like,
damn,
what the heck? But then he was like, but Tony Robbins already uses it. And I was like, what? What? Huh?
Love that dude. What's up?
So we were like, okay, tell me more. So we like obviously clicked to the website, got a little more info, clicked around. I'm sure you're really curious what it is, but I'm not going to tell you.
I can't tell you yet.
So we were lurking around the website and it looked super legit. Like the website was super professional. If you don't have a legit website and you're pitching these influencers,
get the fuck out.
Emily tells you like it is. but the website was awesome. And we're like, well, I mean, it was short. It was to the point. Mm-hmm. And we're like, maybe too good to be true is awesome, you know? And so we
he numbered the benefits. Like it was like one sentence. Here's the thing. Number one, this could happen. Number two, here's what else you're going to get. Number three, here's what else awesome, cool thing is happening. It was never about like we get the opposite of pitches. We're like, our app has been downloaded by 18 kajillion people and has 73 five-star reviews and lives on this site. Like, I don't give a shit about that stuff. I want to know the value. How can my audience or my business grow from what you're wanting me to use?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah. So focus on what they're going to get out of it. I mean, if you're going to give them the product for free, I mean, tell them that. If the product is super valuable or has some like reoccurring charge, like for instance, his product has a monthly reoccurring charge and he was offering us to be a partner is what he called it, mm-hmm. a partner in the business, which we don't get. like, we don't own a percentage of his business.
It's not like our type of partnership.
It's not.
It's like the way you're married to your barista, okay? It's a similar concept. He adds an extra shot for you when you come in looking like a hot mess, and you give him an extra dollar in the tip jar. It's fine. That's what we're talking about.
So,
not that I have a barista husband or anything.
So, but he was using words that just really made you feel connected immediately. Like, and I literally don't even remember this pitch, but I immediately was like, okay, sold. And then we were like, okay, let's get him on a phone, which normally we're like, I do not want to talk on the phone to anyone ever.
Right, ever.
But we were like, let's get him on the phone. And then we got him on the phone and he knew what he was talking about.
Yep. He was just like, here, and this is what happens next. What's up?
And he guided the conversation, and he was ready to talk to us.
He set dates, which is like super sexual to me. Give me some due dates and I'll say yes to anything.
And we're on the road. So like that could be a huge opportunity for us. And what that means to you is focus less on your benefit. Focus less on, you know, if they're going to make 30% reoccurring commissions, don't say, I'm going to make 70% every time you make a sale. Like, just don't do that.
Well, and I think too, when we try to pitch people, the reason why we focus on like our benefits, like if I, and I'm thinking right now of how we pitch people to be on the podcast. You know, we pull out, here's how many downloads we have. Here's the reach that we have.
I'm just thinking we
read. Which I know is beneficial. Like, they need to know how many people they're getting in front of. Yeah. But I do think we could tweak that of like, here's what's led for other interviewers in their own business by being on our podcast. Like, here are the results. Here are the quotes of what our interviewers are saying after we hang out with them, of how much fun it was or how easy it was or whatever. Like, all of those things we could be definitely doing a better job highlighting.
Yeah, I already have like five ideas from our own conversation right now.
It's talking about what their experience is going to be and not how good our show is. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's all everyone cares about is the experience. Do y'all get that yet?
Yeah.
I'm still understanding it every day, so no judgment if you don't.
No, it's totally, we forgive you for every bad pitch that you ever wrote.
Oh, yeah, because I've sent some bad ones.
And the really cool thing is if you wrote one to someone, even if you wrote one to us, I don't remember. They don't remember.
If it was that bad, I don't remember.
It probably got deleted already. I know it got deleted because Katie got us to inbox zero. And so I'm like super excited about that. Yeah. Inbox zero every day. Knocking it out. But what I'm saying is pitch again. Like, you can always go back to those people that you've been like dreaming of working with and try again from a different angle. And I promise you, Even if they have a VA reading about it, even if it's like someone else is going over the emails,
they don't see value where there's value.
And they don't remember who else emailed either. Right. Just do it again. Don't use the same subject line so it doesn't pop up the same. Like, right.
But then you're good.
Just start
again,
over,
baby.
Try it again.
Add the value. So I think that covered everything we wanted to talk about of what we say no to. I hope that gave you guys some tips on how to restructure or structure who you want to pitch to. So I feel like, do we need to have two separate talk strategy to me?
Yeah. So like one that's focused on you saying no, and then one focused on making a better pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. So here are some strategies on either getting a better yes, like if you want to say yes, but making it a better yes, or just flat out saying no. So setting up that quantifiable exposure. So know before you go into any relationship whatsoever, it doesn't matter who pitches you, what do you need? What's your minimum base for doing anything for quote free? What do you absolutely have to get out of it? Or what are you going to give in return for it? So if you know your base, you know what you want out of the relationship before they even start, it helps make that conversation a lot easier. Type up a canned response. If you're getting pitches or if you're getting pitches, it works both ways. Type up your canned response of adding value or having your yes already solidified. Yes, let's hop on a 15-minute phone call so I can make sure you're not a serial killer and I can, you know, see if we want to make the collaboration actually work. Or have your no response canned up so you're not having to sit and stare at your email like, oh, I had to say no to this person. It feels super awkward. Just have your no nice and polite and just get it done.
And if you're like us and haven't done either of those things yet,
yeah,
then you can tell your VA to please make two canned responses, please.
Yeah. Katie should listen to our podcast for her job duties.
Okay, that sounds like a plan. That would be an expensive – anyway, we're not getting into that.
Fine.
So for – the people who want to make better pitches, your talk strategy to me is one, focus on the value that the person is getting rather than the value that you have already. Because nobody cares about your downloads or your ratings or whatever. And I literally have put these things in my pitches many a time already, but instead tell them why they're going to want to be a part of this opportunity. And two, make a list of five people that either never responded to your pitch previously because it sucked or B, didn't they said no previously because your pitch sucked. And you're going to rewrite your pitch to those five people.
Yeah. If you're rewriting a pitch to us, put a unicorn emoji in your subject line and it'll get our attention faster.
Ooh.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. So we really hope that this is helpful. We hope you get more yeses this year.
And I hope you're encouraged to say more no as
yes,
well.
If you're pitching, get more yeses. If you're the one influencing people, say no more often. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You don't have time for that. I get your life.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our creative template shop membership. With thousands of easy-to-customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics. We make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode, send it to a friend who needs to hear it, and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind-the-scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love the show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.